Mark. We're continuing a journey through this gospel, and we're in a series of messages I'm entitling, Yours is the Authority. And today's message is entitled, New Medicine. New Medicine. So in other words, Jesus has the authority to do some new things nobody else can do. And so today I want us to think about how it is that what Jesus is doing, his area of expertise, let's say it that way, means that he is offering up some new kind of medicine. And it's medicine for the soul. It's medicine for the heart. And so Jesus Christ has all the authority in this world. Before he gives the disciples their final directions in Matthew chapter 28, he says this to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All power, all control, all influence." He says, "I am the expert. And because of that, I'm the author and I'm the authority." Now listen to this description of Jesus in the words of the Apostle Paul out of Colossians in the first chapter. And listen for the words that describe Jesus' authority, his power, his greatness, his control, his influence. "For in him," that is in Jesus, "all things were created." Now those words just kind of roll off your tongue, but just pause there for a minute and think about that. In Jesus, all things in heaven and on earth were created. Visible and invisible. Whether they're thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He, Jesus, is before all things. And in him, in Jesus, all things hold together. And he, that is Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything, he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Jesus. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ. A proper belief in Jesus Christ includes the recognition that he is and has all authority in heaven and on earth, over the church, and over you and me. Jesus, yours is the authority. Jesus, you have the control, you have the power, you have the influence, and Jesus, you have the expertise. And because of that, Lord, I think it's a good idea for us to pay attention to what you say and what you do in the pages of the Bible. Because, Lord, you are the expert. You are the authority. Amen. This morning, I want to look at chapter 2 of Mark, and I'll read a passage from verse 13 to verse 22. And this passage, I want us to see how Jesus' expertise is what people are ultimately looking for. I want to ask this question before I read the passage. What does a doctor, a piece of cloth, and wine, or a wineskin, have to do with each other? Well, Jesus uses all three to introduce a new era of the Father's authority and the Spirit's power. Jesus practices a new kind of spiritual medicine, if you will. And the healing results of that are joy and freedom in the human life. So let me read the passage for today and pray that we see Jesus' authority for the blessing that it is. Beginning in verse 13. "Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth." Now, you might also know that another name for Levi is Matthew. And Matthew was the tax collector who became the disciple of Jesus, who became the author of the first gospel in the New Testament. But I also think it's very interesting that the name of Levi, and if you, you know, just kind of investigate that a little bit, you would recognize that that was an Old Testament tribe of the 12 tribes, the Levites. And the Levites were a consecrated tribe set apart for the Lord and set apart for the Lord's use. And it pertained to the worship of the people. The Levite tribe were responsible for carrying out and maintaining the proper worship of the people of Israel to the Lord. And here it is that Jesus would call this one to become a follower of his and to, in a way, continue to prepare the proper kind of worship toward Jesus. And so there he sees Levi sitting at the tax collector's booth doing his work. And Jesus says to him, "Follow me." And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. And there were many who followed him. Verse 16, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, the Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Likewise, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" And Jesus answered them, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." Amen. Before I go on, let me make a change here. Josh, I want to make a change with my mic, and I want to just go with a handheld from this point on. So I'm going to cut off my headset mic and go with a handheld. All right, there we go. Hopefully we won't hear any pops or crackles anymore. That's a little distracting. So I think that this passage might be one of the passages that good Baptists can relate to more than any other when Jesus starts teaching about wine and wineskins. Like, good Baptists know anything about good wine. Or maybe we do. We're just not admitting it. Oh, goodness. Jesus is speaking and teaching. And these are, at least in my Bible, these are passages that are not connected. They have like a subheading that separates them. In the original old Greek text, it didn't have those kinds of divisions. And so sometimes when I'm reading the scriptures, I like to take passages that would otherwise be separated, and you might hear a sermon about one particular passage, and I like to combine them and see, is there something here that's connected that might speak? So as I was doing that, I thought to myself, what does a piece of fabric and a wineskin have to do with each other? And so as I began to think about it, it dawned on me that Jesus knows how to do something new and good. It's like he's a doctor practicing new medicine on us, on our souls. and that his work in us is beautiful and precious. And it really is something that at a very deep level we really need and desire. We may not always know it, that that's what we're after, but it's what we really desire. We may not know it any more than the woman at the well knew that she really wanted not water from the well. She really wanted water that Jesus gave her, which is living water. And she would never thirst in her heart ever again. And so the woman there at the well didn't know that that's what she needed or yearned for down deep inside. Jesus knew that she yearned for that, and he offered it to her. And it seems like in that story out of the Gospel of John that the woman took Jesus up on his offer, and she drank, and her thirst was quenched, and she never thirsted again in her heart. Now, today I want to take these three ideas that Jesus talks about, that of a doctor, that of a piece of fabric or a piece of cloth, and then that of a wineskin or like new wine and what you put it in, so the container that would hold new wine. And as Jesus says, you can't put new wine in old wineskins, and I'll take his word. I'll take him at his word. I've never experienced it, but I'll take him at his word that there's something here that doesn't work. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. And so Jesus takes this as a third example. So a doctor, a piece of fabric, and new wine and a new wineskin. And so using these three items, I want to show that Jesus practices a kind of spiritual medicine that heals us at the deepest level. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you today, I'm not going to get but to one of those. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to pick up the other two. So today, I'm just going to talk about this idea of Jesus being a doctor who practices a new kind of medicine. And then in the weeks to follow, I want to come back in and touch on the new cloth and or the new piece of fabric, and then the new wine and the new wineskin. So the first thing that I want to focus on is that Jesus is the expert or the authority in practicing a new kind of medicine, okay? So follow me here. So think about Jesus as like the doctor, and Jesus makes the point to those that were gathered at Levi's home for a meal and for just time to be together. Jesus makes the point that it's not the well people that need a doctor, it's the sick people. And he says, likewise, I've not come to be a doctor to the righteous people. They've got it taken care of. I'm here to take care of people who are kind of sick in their soul, and whether they know it or not. I'm here to practice spiritual medicine, if you would, on people that are kind of sick in their heart and in their soul. So Jesus is an expert in relating to and caring about those who might otherwise be shunned by religion and by religious people. That's really what's happening here. Let's don't try to paint a different picture. What's really happening here is that you have a gathering of people, ordinary people, mostly like you and me, who are gathered together at Levi's house. It's Levi and all of his friends, his acquaintances, his perhaps the people that he works with, gathered in his home after he has met Jesus. And he's invited all of these to his home. And Jesus is there. And there are others that are gathered there that are a part of the religion of that day and the religious people and the religious leaders of that day. Jesus says as they're there, Jesus seems to notice the differences in the people that are gathered there. And as the expert, Jesus, as the authority, is relating to and caring about those who in actuality are being shunned by the good religious people and the religious leaders that are there. Jesus says, it is not the well who need a doctor. I came to relate to and to care for sinners. Now, the truth of the matter is, that is what we all are, myself included. There is no one who does not fit in a different category. In the presence of the Lord, we are all sinners. Now, bless the Lord, in Jesus Christ, that sin has been taken care of.
And the Lord has taken care of that issue in our lives. And Paul writes about it and says that the old person has passed away and the new has come. The old person, the old man, the old woman is gone and is disappearing, and the new is coming in us. And yet we remind ourselves all too often that that old self is still there. That old sinner is still there. Jesus says, I came to relate to and to care for, not the righteous people. They've got it taken care of. And in actuality, what I think and what I read when I read that about the righteous people is actually the self-righteous people. The ones that know that they've got it worked out. They've got it figured out and they're good. And in their religion, they're good. Jesus says, I haven't come for them. They've got it figured out. They've got it worked out. I've come for those that in down deep in their hearts and their souls, there's a sickness there. And they may not describe it that way, but Jesus says, I've come to care for and to relate to sinners. I hear Jesus saying something like this. I'm like a doctor for those who are soul sick. For those who are sick from being shunned and judged as sinners. I'm here as a doctor for those who are soul sick. And for those who are sick from being shunned and judged as sinners. Those are my words. Those are not the words in the text. But in a way, I hear Jesus speaking at that level. Jesus knew what the religious types of his day didn't know. That people are the same. In this way, we are similar in that we all want to be in places and around others where we can know and be known, where we can love and be loved, where we can accept and be accepted, and where we can give and receive in mutuality. See, Jesus knew that about people. And he knew that that's a yearning of the soul of people. And it doesn't matter where you go or who you talk to or what generation or era that people are from. If you were to go back in time and history, if you were to go back to Jesus' time, you would find this same yearning of the soul, because people are the same in our hearts and in our souls. And Jesus knew that because he's the authority and he's the expert. And he knew what the other religious types didn't know. And even today in this place, in this room, Jesus knows that about you and about me. Whether we see it or know it ourselves or about others, whether we would ever express that that's what a gathering like this is supposed to be about. You see, this gathering right here is a lot more about Levi and his friends than it is about a bunch of religious people that have it figured out. And Jesus is here in the midst of us. And he's that doctor that practices a kind of spiritual medicine that meets us down at a deep soul level where we need some medicine and we need some healing. Am I off base? You don't have to answer that. Am I missing Jesus here? Don't answer that. Jesus doesn't say it that way in our passage, but I think he demonstrates it. Jesus doesn't say that all people are looking for places and for others where they can know and be known, or love and be loved, or accept and be accepted, or give and receive in mutuality. Jesus doesn't say it that way, but I think that he demonstrates that in this passage. Here he is in the home of a tax collector named Levi. After he had called Levi to follow him and be a disciple of his, and Levi arranges a social get-together at his house. And Jesus is there with Levi, the tax collector. Now, I'm sure that if you've grown up in church or if you've attended Sunday school or had a great Bible teacher, that they have made this point before. And if you're not familiar with those things, Well, then, let me illustrate it this way. In the time that this story was written, a tax collector was the most hated person in their world, in their communities, because they were the ones who had saddled up next to the despised Romans, and they were taxing the good people of God to pay the evil Roman government their taxes. Sometimes it sounds a little familiar to our world these days. We don't like people who take up our taxes. And so imagine what it would be like today that Levi is that one that we hate today the most, the most despised individual that we can conjure up in our minds, the most evil, the most depraved, despised, despicable person that we can think of. Somebody with the worst kind of motive or agenda that we could ever even think of. Somebody whose behavior and practices make us sick and want to vomit. That when you read the words tax collector, that's the vibe that's being put out here. And that is who Levi was. And Jesus was there with him, not to stare at him, not to judge him, not to condemn him, not to teach him, not to instruct him, not to convict him, but to be with him, to sit across the table and break bread together, talk about the day and talk about the family, talk about how Levi ended up where he is, to learn Levi. And to meet Levi's friends, to meet them and get to know their names and their families, where they're from, how did they meet, why do they still like Levi, why are they there in the house that night? And Jesus is there not to teach them, not to instruct them, not to condemn them, but to be with them and to learn them. Because every good doctor knows their patient. And Jesus, who is the authority, knows his patience. And he knows you, and he knows me. And he knew Levi, and he knew Levi's friends, and he knew the religious people too. You see, it's not there. Jesus doesn't say it, but I think Jesus demonstrates it. Here he is in the home of this despised tax collector named Levi for a social get-together. And who does Levi invite? Levi invites those who are his friends. It just so happens that his friends are considered sinners. And they're considered sinners especially by the religious types. These friends of Levi's were judged to be just like Levi. Unworthy. Unworthy of knowing. Unworthy of loving, unworthy of accepting, unworthy of receiving anything from them. Yet, this is just the crowd Jesus chose. He chose to be with them. And he chose to seek that exchange of grace that I described, of knowing and being known, of loving and being loved, of accepting and being accepted, of giving and receiving from the other. That exchange of grace. Jesus is the authority. He is the expert in this kind of exchange, in this kind of exchange of grace. And he knew that the righteous, or as I said, the self-righteous, have no grace to give and see no need in themselves for receiving grace from others. Jesus really was like the doctor who was practicing a new kind of medicine for the soul. This community of Levi's, this community of friends and associates and acquaintances of Levi's, this community, yes, of sinners. They became a part of Jesus's community, of Jesus' community of friends. Because we must take it seriously when Jesus is described as the friend of sinners. Church, Jesus was the authority in Levi's house that day. Jesus was the authority or the expert sitting around Levi's table that day. But his authority was not an authority to judge and condemn. Actually, Jesus' authority caused him to relate to and to care for those who these people were. And not just who these people were, not just who Levi was, but who Levi would become. Jesus was there to relate to and to care for, not just who Levi was, but who Jesus knew Levi was to become. Amen. Now, here's where we're headed over the next week or so with this particular story. The next thing I want to break apart and share is this, that Jesus was not just the doctor who was practicing a new kind of medicine for the soul, but he is also an expert on mending and weaving a new fabric. And so I want to preach that message about what Jesus' community of people looks like. Because I do believe that Jesus is weaving like a new fabric. And what Jesus says is that you can't take a new piece of fabric and try to sew it onto an old piece of fabric. They don't go together. It just seems like it tears both. And so what Jesus is really getting at is that he's the authority to kind of do a new kind of mending or a new kind of medicine, of weaving a new kind of fabric. And so I want to talk about that, his community of people. And then the third message that I want to share is that Jesus is the authority or the expert on offering and applying the best kind of new wine. Jesus was at a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and they didn't know what to do. And Mary, Jesus' mother, comes to him and asks him to do something about it. And so Jesus turns water into wine. It was kind of a first miracle. And he turns water into wine, and Jesus is accused. You know, Jesus does that for the homeowner, and the homeowner is accused of saving the best wine for last. Nobody does it that way. Nobody does it that way. Nobody does it like Jesus. Nobody offers what he offers. And the new wine in a new container is the Holy Spirit that Jesus pours out. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. He is the expert at pouring out the Holy Spirit. And last Sunday night, one of the things that I believe we experienced was Jesus pouring out a new kind of wine upon us, gathered in this place, worshiping, him resting upon us, the Lord pouring out his Spirit to fill us and to bless us. So that's kind of where I'm going with this passage in the next couple of weeks. I pray that the Lord will bless it and cause it to be like good to be like a good soil, his word, seed in good soil, and may it have deep roots that run in us, and may it sprout up and produce good fruit in our lives and in our church. Lord, thank you for this time together, for our worship and our praise today, for the hearts of your people that are here seeking you and worshiping you today. Lord, we want to thank you for your authority in our lives and in our church is not a kind of authority that is heavy and condemning and judgmental, lording it over people. That's the way Jesus talked about authoritarian leadership. He said, people know how to lord it over you, but Jesus says, I'm not like that. Lord, thank you for not lording your authority over us, but you actually go down into the heart of us and the soul of us, and you minister to us, and you give us a kind of medicine, a spiritual medicine that heals us and satisfies our hunger and thirst at a very deep level. Might we know you in that way, and might we not rest until we experience you that way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song today.